Okay, I want to talk to you about the UN resolution to divide Israel. First, it's just a little bit of research, and it's very obvious that France is the front for Obama to bring this two-state pre-67 borders resolution to the UN beast on the 15th of January. And we'll see what's going to happen. But the Lord has said that he will recompense those who divide Israel's land on their own head and quickly. They're also speaking of voting on what is presented there on the 17th. They know that after Trump's inauguration on the 20th, he will not stand for this resolution, so they are ramming it through before then. If God permits, these earthquakes will hit nations around the world, and many will be converted to the Lord. I believe Obama and the UN will demand a Palestinian state, contrary to his lies, and earthquakes and martial law will follow. All we can say is, God have mercy. This will come, I believe, to judge the wicked and to chasten the Christians and the Jews for rebellion against the covenant. Could the earthquakes be spiritual, as in divisions of the earth, of the peoples of the earth, as in chaos followed by martial law? Yes, if God says so. Physical quakes have been prophesied and would kill multitudes. Any signs of natural earthquakes building up for this time, I believe we're seeing out there right now. I just looked at Dutch Sense, a couple of his videos, and Dutch and friends have been seeing success in predicting earthquakes. He discovered that large, very deep earthquakes come before shallower quakes in a radius around it, but at a larger magnitude. They say that a major East Coast quake could come in less than 3 days. These are virtually non-existent on the East Coast. But the East Coast is now having bird and fish die-offs and sinkholes as earthquake precursors. And I'll send you that link here. In our dreams, the East Coast quake comes before the West Coast, and these predictions align with that. Dutch Sense also says a major West Coast quake could come in less than 6 more days. And I'll send you a link for that one, too. These are very interesting. We'll see if they come to pass. He says the same thing, but he thinks he has found precedents for these. We shall see. West Coast quakes are increasingly dramatically. They're increasing. And I'll send you a link to that. So, I mean, it looks like we are leading up to something, naturally speaking. The question that many have is, could this UN agreement involve the Daniel 9, 26, and 27 agreement known as the beginning for the tribulation? And, yes, it could be part of that. Yes, it could. We don't know what they're doing up there. If it's just a division or... I suppose that an agreement for peace could be made later that would involve this, but this could be involved in it too. Let me just read that to you. Daniel 9, first of all, 24. I'm going to read part of that because it points out what 9, 26, and 27 is talking about. Daniel 9, 24, 70 weeks are decreed upon thy people and upon thy holy city. But when the Anointed One was cut off, thy people and thy holy city was changed. I don't know if almost no people know that unless they got it from us, because we got it from the Lord. And it's very simple. There was a cutting off and a grafting in at that time. And you can see our book, Hidden Manna for the End Times, if you want to get a more precise understanding of that. So let's go down to 9:26 and 27. And after 62 weeks, and these are weeks of years, shall the anointed one be cut off. And of course Jesus was killed at that time, so we know it's weeks of years. And shall have nothing. And the people of the prince of Rome, by the way, that shall come, that was in 70 A.D., shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. So if it's determined upon that city isn't there. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, even unto the end shall be war, desolations are determined. Okay, so that was almost 2,000 years ago. Now, verse 27 starts in our time, almost 2,000 years later. And it says, and he who? And the same person or personage that destroyed the city 2,000 years ago. The same prince that destroyed the city 2,000 years before shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. 7 years in our day, of course. I'll answer your question about that in a minute. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. I should say that only the true Christians have a sacrifice today. And it's a continual sacrifice. Only the true Christians. And upon the wing of abominations, or the pinnacle of abominations, shall come one. What abomination is that? It is the mark of the beast. That maketh desolate, and the end, and even unto the full end, and that determined, shall wrath be poured out on the desolate. Okay, so there is 2,000 years, about 2,000 years, between the prince destroying the city of Jerusalem and the prince making the covenant in our day. Obviously, the prince is not a man, or he would not have lasted 2,000 years. What prince has lasted that long? The next chapter proves what I'm saying. The principality of the Roman Empire lasted from Jesus' day to ours. Just as the image of the beast of iron in the thighs and the legs and the toes of Daniel's vision shows us this. The end time, it starts way back in Jesus' time all the way to our time, and the iron was said to be the Roman Empire. So some people say there is no revived Roman Empire. They don't know what they're talking about. They haven't read the book, obviously. Okay. Also, the prince, and I'm going to call it a principality, of Persia resisted the man clothed in linen. But Michael the archangel helped to put him down. Now, who do you think archangels are wrestling with up there? Right? Men down here, just a measly angel could take care of that. And they're not measly. Then the next coming principality of Greece came to fight in the heavenlies, but eventually lost to the principality of Rome. So that was down to Jesus' time, you see. And Rome lasts all the way to the end in the vision of the ten toes, or kings, during the tribulation. Are the ten toes Obama? As some people say, he is the Antichrist. No. They are all nations in the UN beast. all nations. It's a revived Roman Empire to rule the world. And if you want to look at this more specifically, you can read our book, Hidden Manna for the End Times. It's free. It's on our site. It will explain to you very clearly how the traditional view of all this is totally wrong and could not be right. But the majority of God's people have always been wrong, so you need to suspect something that's taken traditionally. You need to always suspect it, because it's always wrong. And once you get past the basics, like Jesus is the Son of God, they start going astray. Okay, so Israel and the U.S. under Trump will not accept this foolish edict by the beast, which does not care that Israel historically owns that land and that God gave it to them. The beast comes again at the end of the tribulation in the day of the Lord to take half the city for the Palestinian Philistines, which Israel would not give up in our day. So we know they don't give it up, because they have to come and take it 7 years later. Okay. But at that time they meet God there and are destroyed. Zechariah 14:1, behold, a day of the Lord cometh. When? At the end of the tribulation. When thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, there is the dividing of Israel again. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. So half of the city is what they demand today, and which they have already made a resolution to give it to the Palestinians. But obviously they're not going along with this. And America's going to stand by their side, I believe, very shortly. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Well, when the Bible says he fought, like in Jehoshaphat's time, he divided and conquered the enemy that came against them. They didn't have to do anything. They just went out there praising the Lord, right? And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be cleft in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of it towards the south, and ye, that is Israel, shall flee by the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, you shall flee, like you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the holy ones with thee. Well, we'll whoop them real bad, won't we, Lord? Well, God knows what he's doing, folks. We're catching on more and more, aren't we? Praise be to God. Thank you so much, Lord, for opening our eyes and helping us to see these things. It's kind of line upon line here a little and there a little, but we're getting there. Thank you, Lord. So I wanted to share with you, too, some of the verses that we have received by faith at random asking questions about these things. We want to make sure, and I can't say we're absolutely sure. You know, God, he makes prophecies and gives dreams, but there's two ways that he can fulfill dreams depending upon what happens. There's more than two, but two main ones, I would say. And that's, he can fulfill them spiritually or physically. Sometimes he chooses one, sometimes he chooses the other, depending upon man's actions. Okay. Do we know for sure? I'll tell you what I think, okay? And that's not of thus saith the Lord. But let me share some of these verses. On January the 1st, 2017, Michael Hare asked, are we going to see the earthquakes this month? He got two verses, Job 18:5, yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. Whoa. You know, the wicked come in the place of the righteous. When God wants to give a demonstration to his people so they will repent, lots and lots of wicked people get wiped out because God's a really good coordinator. He can say who gets taken out and who can't. You say, how could he do that with that many people involved? Well, he can, and those angels are big. Anyway, and then he got Matthew 27:15-19. Now, at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the multitude one prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. And when therefore they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him up. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Well, guess what? A Jew named Jesus was taken from his land, and an earthquake followed immediately, and he was resurrected with a great earthquake too. So, that's an interesting situation. For a minute I was scratching my head, now why would this be an answer? Well, that's an answer right there. And on January the 6th, 2017, we asked the question for our group. We asked a question, and they were going to get verses asking that question of the Lord. And the question was, Is the destruction of D.C. happening now just spiritual, or is it a physical thing to come? Good question. That's not one that's easy to answer with Scripture, because you can look at the Scriptures and see spiritual and physical. Okay? And by the way, are we not now seeing a spiritual destruction of what D.C. was? Look what's coming. Okay? Look at the new anointed ones going into office there. Yes. Okay. So our question isn't, is it spiritual, but is it physical too? Right? We can see it's spiritual, but is it physical too? We just want to make sure, you know. I know a lot of people have opinions on that, and we do too, but we like to be really solid, right? I will point out to you that the Chile and the Japan monster earthquakes came immediately after they promised to support the Palestinian invaders. That was physical. Could it be the same this time? Well, God reserves the right to answer spiritually, if he wants to. Okay? So, Matthew Stewart asked the question, and he got, and I'll just tell you right up front before I give you his verse, he said, we believe that at the time of the earthquakes, martial law will come, but will not affect the bride and her request to the king for the deliverance of the church from Haman's army will be honored. You know Haman, right? So here's the verse. The text is awesome. Joel 2:9-11. They leap upon the city. They run upon the wall. They climb up into the houses. The martial law, which we believe comes because of the earthquakes, right? They enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth quaketh before them. So there's the earthquake, and then the martial law is called, right? The earth quaketh before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and the moon are darkened, surely because when you have earthquakes, you have volcanic activity, which does that, and the stars withdraw their shining. Same thing. And the Lord uttereth his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? And I'll explain to you one thing I discovered about this Day of the Lord thing. Physically speaking, the Day of the Lord is at the end of the tribulation period, after God's people go through tribulation, trials and trouble, and so on and so on. But the man, child, and the bride go through that before the tribulation to get prepared for the marriage feast, in which the bride is the bride and the groom is the groom already. So they went through tribulation before the tribulation in order to be prepared for that. So there is a spiritual day of the Lord before and a spiritual day of the Lord after, more physical afterwards, I would say. So, I just want to make that explanation. Now, Missy Pollock asked the question and got, and she asked, is it spiritual too? She wanted to know. Jeremiah 50:33, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah are oppressed together, and all that took them captive hold them fast. Well, the UN thinks that they have authority over God's people, and the beast doesn't have authority over God's people, but the Jews haven't yet discovered that they have a Messiah and believed in that Messiah as their sacrifice for the New Testament, and so they're suffering for that. They refuse to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong. Yes, He is, and He's going to get a remnant out of there. The Lord of hosts is His name. He will thoroughly plead their cause, that He may give rest to the earth. Well, that's peace, isn't it? And disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. Well, we know who Babylon is, too. It's the U.S. on a smaller scale, and it's larger Babylon, the U.N., on a larger scale. He's going to disquiet the beast from its head, which is the U.S., all the way down through its body, which is the U.N. Verse 35, a sword is upon the Chaldeans, that's the Babylonians, says the Lord, and upon the inhabitants of Babylon. That sounds like God sending a spanking, because them taking authority over His people and His land. And upon her princes. That sounds like Ken Dewey's revelation of the Washington, D.C. falling on their heads. And upon their princes, and upon her wise men. A sword is upon the boasters. Boy, I tell you, they are a proud, arrogant bunch, aren't they? From the top on down. And they shall become fools. Yes, indeed. I don't think they have far to go. A sword is upon her mighty men, and they shall be dismayed. A sword is upon their horses, and upon their chariots, and upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of her. And they shall become as women. A sword is upon her treasures, and they shall be robbed. Well, I believe that there will be much loss of the U.S. and the U.N. of their treasures. If these earthquakes cover the globe, we believe we've had at least one revelation that these earthquakes go around the globe, which could make very good sense. Because these are the people at the U.N. that have spoken to take away Israel's land and give it to the Philistines. And then there's verse 45. She jumped down to 45. Therefore hear ye the counsel of the Lord that He hath taken against Babylon, and His purposes that He hath purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely they shall drag them away, even the little ones of the flock. Surely He shall make their habitation desolate over them. Oh my goodness, that sounds like a desolation right there. At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth trembleth, or quakes, and the cry is heard among the nations. Okay, so God can use a text just because of the context, how it fits a situation. It's not that it is what it is talking about physically, the total conquering of Babylon here by the nations. But actually the nations are taking part in the conquering of Babylon because they're ruling against Israel and taking away land that doesn't belong to them. And Leon Lunsford asked the question, and he got, And I'm just going to say up front that at Jesus, or the man-child's death, there was an earthquake. And at his resurrection, there was a great earthquake. So he got John 20:11 on down. Let me read that to you. So you make up your mind what you feel these verses are saying, okay? John 20:11. But Mary was standing without at the tomb weeping. So, as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she beholdeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Uh-oh, a resurrection. There was an earthquake right there. Okay. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and beholdeth Jesus standing, in other words, resurrected, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turneth herself, and saith unto him, in the Hebrew, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. And Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended unto the Father. But go unto my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. Of course, this happened when there was a great earthquake. Okay. Don Laughlin asked the question, and he got Matthew 22:1 on down. And Jesus answered and spake again in parables unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king who made a marriage feast for his son. Now, as we have taught for many years, the 7 days of the marriage feast are the tribulation, the 70th week. Right? And when the feast begins, so does the tribulation. Okay. So, that's a time, too, of this, as we see, the resurrection and the earthquake and tribulation starting. Obviously, it could be because it's the same covenant that they're doing now. Could be. We'll see. And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the marriage feast. So, they were calling them, of course, before the marriage feast started. They were calling them to come to the marriage feast. The Lord showed us that the marriage feast represents the body and blood of Christ, which is being shared by the man-child in the 7 days of the tribulation. And they would not come. Now, yep, they didn't. And some Christians aren't coming this time, too, because that's what things that have been are the things that shall be, right? And again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them that are bidden, Behold, I have made ready my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed. The sacrifice of flesh, representing Jesus. And all things are ready, come to the marriage feast. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And the rest laid hold on his servants and treated them shamefully and killed them. Notice that the invitations went out to come to the feast, and they killed the messengers. And they killed Jesus too. Okay, so we're talking about the tribulation. We're talking about something that happens after the earthquakes. According to Revelation chapter 8, there's an earthquake, a mentionable earthquake, and I think it's a corporate earthquake, just like the beast is corporate, a harlot is corporate, the woman is corporate, they're all corporate entities, and this is a corporate earthquake, because it's an earthquake that goes around the world. Okay, then on 1-10, January the 10th, 17, yesterday, we asked another question. Is DC going to physically fall in an earthquake? Well, you listen and make up your mind, okay? Again, it's hard to ask a question and get a verse because the verse could be physical and the verse could be spiritual, right? But in some cases, we think we know, for instance, like what happened to Chile and what happened to Japan were both physical earthquakes. So, and it looks like earthquakes are increasing and earthquakes are having symptoms in areas where we know these earthquakes are coming. So, okay, that's all we can say. We're doing our best to find out for sure, specifically, you know. So pray for us. So, Michael Hare asked the question, and he got, well, he asked his own question, and then he said, Lord, will the New York earthquake of Sandy's dream happen this month? And he got Micah 6 and 13. Therefore, I have smitten thee with a grievous wound. I have made thee desolate because of thy sins. That's what he got. So the question, is D.C. going to physically fall in an earthquake? Leon asked the question, and he got, and let me say up front that God can promise good to a nation, but take it back if they sin. We've been promised a lot of good and a lot of mercy, but he can take it back if they sin. Okay, so here's his verse. Jeremiah 18 and 7. At what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to break down and to destroy it? If that nation concerning which I have spoken turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, which I believe the Lord has spoken that he is doing here. If they do that which is evil in my sight, that they obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. So if this division is pronounced on Israel, they should repent for rebellion against the Lord. You say, is Israel guilty? Israel's guilty. The Christians are guilty. Everybody's guilty. There's been a great failure of God's people. So it's not just a judgment upon the wicked. It's also a chastening upon those that are called to be gods. Right? Verse 11, now therefore speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you. Who is it that's bringing the tribulation? And is the tribulation necessary? Of course it is. And it is God that brings it, even though we may use vessels of evil to do it. I frame evil against you, and I devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one, from his evil way, and amend your ways and your doings. But they say, it is in vain, for we will walk after our own devices, and we will do every one after the stubbornness of his evil heart. So therefore, a chastening is coming. Can you imagine the apostate Christianity, which has so ignored the word of God for their idols, that they can get out of this without a spanking? I can't imagine it. I know God's going to have an awful lot of mercy. I do know that. He has told us that. And then Matt Stewart asked the question, and he got Joel 3:2 on down. And this is, I think, a real, real specific answer. I will gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will execute judgment upon them. You know, this is, of course, the valley around Jerusalem, which is now not measurable, as God told a young man in Zechariah who went forth to try to measure Jerusalem, and he was told that Jerusalem was inhabited a city without walls because of the multitude of men in it, meaning it was not a physical city anymore, and you couldn't measure it. So just think about this on a larger term here. The nations are against real Jerusalem. I will execute judgment upon them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They certainly have. And of course, they're still coming back out of the nations. And they have parted my land. Uh-oh. There it is. The nations judged for parting Israel's land. And have cast lots for my people. And have given a boy for a harlot. And they don't consider them even humans. They call them pigs, you know. Just like the pigs over here call the policemen pigs. It's going on here too, folks. And sold a girl for wine that they may drink. Yea, and what are ye to me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the regions of Philistia? Yeah, and you Palestinians too, same people. Will you render me a recompense? If you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Whoa. As Brother Dewey prophesied of D.C. coming down on the politicians' heads, who have all stood with the Muslims, because they are Muslims, a lot of them. For as much as you have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried into your temples my goodly precious things, and have sold the children of Judah and the children of Jerusalem unto the sons of the Grecians, in other words, to the beast, that you may remove them from their border. Of course, that's exactly what they want to do. They've sold them to the beast to remove them from their border. Going back to pre-67 border. Behold, I will stir them up out of the place whither you have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. Recompense means he's going to pay them back. He's going to pay the nations back for dividing that land. That's pretty specific. And Don Laughlin asked the question, and he got Ezekiel 9:9-10. Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of resting of judgment. Yes, I don't know. A lot of Christians really just adore the Jews, but they don't understand. They're not saved. They're not born again. Duh. You know how to get into the covenant? You have to be saved and born again. And their judgment is bad. They're not as bad as the people coming against them, that's for sure, but their judgment is bad. And they say, the Lord hath forsaken the land. And a lot of them believe that. The overwhelming majority of Jews do not believe in the old covenant or the new. And the Lord seeth not. That's what they say. And as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will bring their way upon their head. Well, you know, let me just say, the Lord has blessed natural Israel because he has a remnant there that he's going to call Jews according to the New Testament, which means they're circumcised in heart. That's the only way you can be a Jew in the New Testament. You must be circumcised in heart. That's what the New Covenant does for people. And that remnant and the rest of the church who are chosen, those two together are called all Israel in the book of Romans. You're an Israelite if you're circumcised in heart. And if you're just a Jew and you're not circumcised in heart, you're not an Israelite according to the New Testament. I'm sorry. There's a lot of people disagree with that, but they haven't read the book. And Merlene Laughlin asked the question, and she got Psalm 35:8. Let destruction come upon him unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself with destruction, let him fall therein. They think they're throwing a net over Israel, and it's them that's getting the net. You got it? And Patty asked the question and got judgment. In my words, this is about the judgment from the four winds of heaven that will satisfy God's justice. The four winds, wouldn't you say that's around the globe? I would. Zechariah 6:5. And the angel answered and said unto me, These are the four winds of heaven, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. And as you know, in the book of Revelation, there's also horses of different kind that represent judgments, one right after another. Well, this is speaking about judgments one right after another too, even though literally the text may be speaking about a different time. We can see that these judgments are about to come. The chariot wherein are the black horses goeth forth towards the north country, and white went forth after them. And the grizzled went forth towards the south country. And the strong went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, Get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walk to and fro through the earth. These are judgments. Judgments. Then cried he to me, and spake unto me, saying, Behold, they that go towards the north country, maybe D.C., huh, have quieted my spirit in the north country. Meaning, his sense of justice has been satisfied. He is satisfied. He has given the spanking, and that's enough. Okay, and Sue Gilbert got, as we have seen, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and revival starts with the earthquakes, which is the resurrection of the man-child, and the earthquakes are started because of dividing Israel's land. So here he's talking about the revival, okay? And also, usually these are accompanied, like I said, with volcanic activity. So, 1 Corinthians 3:20 on down. And again, the Lord knoweth the reasonings of the wise, that they are vain. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the wise, the people that think that democracy can decide against God's will, are going to find out differently. Then she asked again, and she got Acts 2:14 on down. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and spake forth unto them, saying, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and give ear unto my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing that it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which hath been spoken through the prophet Joel. There we are, back to Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour forth of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now, what time does this outpouring happen? It has to happen according to the types and the shadows of Scripture, right? When was it poured out on Israel in relationship to their tribulation? Well, it was before. It was at the beginning. You know, when they went through the Red Sea and they were baptized in the water and in the cloud at the Red Sea, according to the Apostle Paul. So that's water baptism and spirit baptism. And then they went right into the wilderness, which the Bible in Revelation 12 and Revelation 17 tells us is the first and second half of the tribulation. So they went into the tribulation right after this. And what else happens before the tribulation? Before the first trumpet? Earthquake. Revelation 8. Earthquake. Okay. And we, in our dreams and visions, the outpouring and the revival happens in the midst of the earthquakes. I'm thinking at the New Madrid. Okay, we'll see. New Madrid also could be 3 days after the East Coast, which is makes it the great earthquake. The first one is the earthquake. This is the greatest. The one on the East Coast is going to be the greatest that we have known about in history. Okay. But it's not going to compare to the one at the New Madrid. And you young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my servants and upon my handmaidens in those days will I pour forth of my Spirit. Oh, won't that be great? Can you just imagine Isaiah 61 and Jesus doing today what he did back then? Setting the captives free. How many people you know that really need to be set free? They love the Lord, and they've been waiting on the Lord patiently, asking for his help. And guess what? He's coming. He's coming, folks. He's coming to set you free. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above. And signs on the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. There's, sounds like volcanic activity, doesn't it? The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. More of the same. Before the day of the Lord come. And it is a day of the Lord after the man-child and bride's crucifixion, just as there is another one after the church's crucifixion in the at the end of the tribulation, right? Wow. That great and notable day, and it shall be that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise God. Well, I don't know. You know, you can make up your mind, and we can, of course, wait and see. But it's just amazing how many answers you can get that point to a certain point in time, and that point in time being this that's coming. I know we can ask for mercy. God always gives mercy. It's never as bad as what He says, because people cry out for mercy. But some things can't be done away. If God's already spoken about it in the Scriptures, it's going to happen. You can try to pray it away, but you can't. We can't pray away the tribulation. I know people do try to do that. But there is a time when it must come. You know. And if it doesn't, by the way, I just got to tell you, a whole lot more people are going to go to hell. Chastening opens people's eyes. Let favor be shown to the wicked, yet will they not learn righteousness. That's right. So, God sends spankings and He sends blessings. And the spanking, of course, could be these physical earthquakes and volcanic activity and tidal waves and things like that. And, of course, the blessing could be the outpouring of His Holy Spirit on those who are fortunate enough to live through all the rest of that. Be holy, saints. I'm not saying everybody that loves the Lord and is with the Lord is not going to die in one of these things. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying a good portion of those that are ordained of God to grow up in Him can't die before they get the spanking and the revival, because they need it to be what they're chosen to be in God. Some people will die. They will pass away. But they will go to be with the Lord. Because where they are in that state, they're accounted righteous, you know. And as we walk down this road, there are people who are accounted righteous because they're doing what they know to do. They're not in willful rebellion. And if they pass away, they go to be with the Lord. A moment of trouble and death for an eternity of life with the Lord. So who gets the better deal? Those that are staying or those that go? Don't pity the ones that go. Remember what Jesus said when He was going to the cross and they were crying for Him. He said, you better cry for yourselves and for your children. You know what He meant? I'm going to be with God. You're going to stay here and go through this mess. So, anyway, if you need to go through it, you need to go through it. God is able, through the pressure from without because of tribulation and the grace that He gives within, to mature and perfect His people. And that's the main thing that we're here for, right? Some people charge God foolishly. Job didn't do that. Shall we receive good at the hand of God and not evil? And all this Job sinned not with his lips, nor charged God foolishly. Right? Many people are angry with God because He won't do something or will do something. Jonah, you know, was angry because Nineveh didn't get spanked, you know, majorly. He wanted them taken out because they were the enemy of Israel. You know, he was angry. And because he would look like a false prophet, because he prophesied in 40 days and it didn't come to pass. But he was a true prophet. So there, figure that out. Some people are misjudging on prophecy, on dreams and visions and so on, you know, because they're foolish. We should wait to open our mouth until God puts something in our brain, right? Oh, praise you, Father. Thank you so much, Lord. We put our trust in you, Lord, in these days. And however this works out, Lord, we receive it as from the Lord. A man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. Lord, we can see that judgment is coming. And if this is the time of them making this foolish mistake, then judgment is coming. The nature of it may be a little up for understanding, you know, but judgment is coming. If they make this mistake, I can't imagine that Mr. Obama doesn't want to make this mistake. I personally believe that Mr. Obama desires to be the one that the worldly church calls the Antichrist. I personally believe that. But the one the worldly church calls the Antichrist is not the Antichrist, and anybody can read our book and find out who the Antichrist is. And you'll find out pretty quickly that Obama is not the Antichrist. He is an Antichrist, and he's pretty good at it. Okay, I'm not shorting him any here, you know. He is an Antichrist, and he is pretty good at it, but he's not the Antichrist. And if you read our book, you'll see what I'm talking about. I don't have time to go into that now. But thank you, Father. Thank you for your mercy towards your people. Thank you that that northern army that came down in the book of Joel failed in what they wanted to do, which was devour the bride. And no, it was the other way around. The bride's prayers, just like in Esther, not only saved her, but it saved the people of God who had come under the thumb of the beast. And they were smitten and left Israel. And so, you know, in the book of Esther, we see that story. Haman, who wanted to destroy the people of God. I think you say, well, isn't Obama Haman? He's a pretty good type, I think. Yep, pretty good, pretty good. But there's another and larger beast out there that wants to destroy the people of God, as you know. So, and it's a whole body in the earth, too, by the way. So there's more revelation than the little limited letter that a lot of people put out. So, Father, we thank you for opening our understanding and drawing us unto you, giving us mercy and love one for another, forgiving one another for what we perceive to be mistakes or misunderstanding concerning the Scriptures. No one should judge others over those things. And Father, we thank you that you're bringing your people a wonderful, wonderful revival that's going to change their lives forever. Just thinking about the type and shadow of Jesus, Father, what he did the first time when he came, and what he's about to do this time, which is, according to your word, even greater. Gosh, the signs, the wonders, the miracles, the salvations, the deliverances. Oh, God, what an awesome thing you're going to do for your people. What kind of the joy of the Lord will be on your people? You said, I will see you again, and your joy none taketh from you. Oh, yes, Lord, we know you're coming again. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Oh, praise your name. Lord, we know you're physically, after a fashion, coming again at the end of the tribulation period, because you said you would raise them up at the last day, and the resurrection and the rapture happen at the same time, according to 1 Corinthians 15. You said the last day, not 7 years before the last day. And so we know you're coming for your people. And we thank you for that. But you're coming now in your people so you can come for your people. You're coming as an epiphany, a shining forth from your people, so that you can come as a parousia, the coming for your people. And that's what most of the all flyaway rapture folks do not understand, because they don't know what makes Jesus, the Word of God, humbled in your heart is what makes Jesus in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Amen.